Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to find workers to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them one denarius for the day, and he sent them into his vineyard. Now, about 9 o'clock, he went back to the marketplace, and he found still others standing around, and so he said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right." He did the same thing again, about noon, and again about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then again at 5 o'clock, he went to the marketplace, and he found still others standing around doing nothing. And so he said to them, "Why have you been standing around here all day doing nothing?" And they said, "No one hired us." And so he said, "You also go work in my vineyard." So when evening came, he said to his foreman, "Call the workers together and pay them their wages, starting with the last ones hired and on to the first." So when the ones came who were hired at 5 o'clock, they each received one denarius. So those who had been hired first expected to receive more. But when they were paid, they also received one denarius. And when they had received it, they grumbled against the landowner. They said, "These men who came at 5 o'clock worked but 1 hour, and we have worked all day and borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day, and you have made them equal to us." But the landowner said to one of them, "Friend, I have not treated you unfairly. Did you not agree to work for one denarius? I want to give the one who came last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" And so, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Oh,
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your friends in Christ Jesus, the mother made her first mistake when she allowed the youngest of her four children to cut the cake. Because as soon as the pieces of cake were distributed, there rose up in her household the eternal cry, "Hey, her piece is bigger than mine. That's not fair." How many times have we heard that, right? In our household, amongst our children, when we were kids, amongst our siblings. We heard it at school. We hear it at work. And if you turn on the TV and you listen to Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or ABC, NBC, CBS, XYZ, you will hear that cry go up, because every protest that's ever been done, it's always about not fair. And lo and behold, we have it in our gospel lesson today too. Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And these poor guys, they were hired at sunrise. They have worked a 12-hour shift with probably just a short time off to eat a little lunch. They have been working in the broiling sun. They've got blisters on their fingers. They've got aches in their back. They've got grape stains all over their clothes. And now these slackers who came in at 5 o'clock and worked 1 hour get paid a full day's wage, the same as they're getting paid. Well, right away, what are they going to say? You're going to have to help me on this. They're going to say, "That's not fair." And you can bet if there had been a union there, possibly the UVWI, United Vineyard Workers International, you can bet that the very next day there would have been picket signs out there. There would have been picket lines set up. They'd have been throwing bricks, and they'd have been burning boards and barrels, and they would have been chanting, and they would have been saying, "We don't want to have anything to do with this vineyard worker, because that's not fair." Yeah, it's not fair. Gee, there's a lot of things in life that aren't fair, aren't there? Lots of stuff. And you know what? The psalmists say that too. In Psalm 73, there's a psalmist named Asaph, and he writes these words: "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure." What's he saying? He's saying, "Lord, I look around and I see these people that give no credence to you and your law at all, and they're building a second story on their houses. They're building bigger barns. They've got more sheep and more cattle and more goats than anybody else. And what do I have? I have kept my heart pure. I have lived in accordance with your word. And I don't have any of that." Well, Asaph is saying, that's not fair. Good people ought to get good stuff, and the bad people ought to suffer. And he's not alone in that. The prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 12 of Jeremiah, he says, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease while the poor suffer want?" He's looking around the world too. He comes after the psalmist, but it hasn't changed. He looks around and he sees that these people that are faithless, these people that don't follow God's commands, they seem to be prospering. Their businesses are getting bigger. Their farms are getting broader. And he sees other people who live according to God's law, and they're not doing so good. And he looks at that and he says, "That's not fair. Not fair." C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Great Divorce, tells the story of a Christian man who died. And he finds himself standing at the pearly gates. He's standing in line. And when his turn comes, he comes up to St. Peter. He tells him his name. St. Peter looks in the book of life, and sure enough, the guy's name is written in the book of life. And so Peter puts his arm around him and says, "Welcome, come and receive the kingdom prepared by our master." And the man is about to enter the pearly gates when he looks into heaven and he sees a man walking there and he goes, I know that guy. He's a convicted murderer. He killed my first cousin. What's he doing in there? And Peter said, well, he confessed his sins. He repented of it. He called on the name of Jesus. So the master has welcomed him in. And that guy says, if he's in there, I'm not going in there. And the man refuses to go into heaven because he says, God might forgive him, but I won't. For a murderer to be in heaven, that's not fair. No way should he be inside that place. It's not fair. Martin Luther rediscovers the gospel, the good news that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. He rediscovers that. And he begins to teach that doctrine, but there are many in his day who reject any such teaching. They say, wait a minute. We're not going to have any more indulgences, no more relics, no more paid masses for the dead. What are you talking about, Luther? What do you mean no more pilgrimages? What do you mean no more penance after you've made confession? Are you out of your mind? You're making the gospel way too general. You're making grace too cheap. You're making grace too easy. You're saying people get to heaven without doing anything? That's not fair. No, we've always done all these things, and how can you expect that people get something for nothing? That's not the way of the world, is it? You were taught from the beginning. You have to earn things. Huh? Mom said, no dessert until you eat that green that's on that plate. So you ate the green, you got the brownie. There you go. You learned that you earn those things. When you got a job, the boss said, listen, if all you're going to do is sit in the back room and read comic books, you're not getting paid. So you had to work, and then you got your paycheck. That's the way it works now. To get it any other way just does not seem fair. It's not fair, huh? Yeah? What about that yak herder in Outer Mongolia? You know the guy. He lives in a yurt. He herds his yaks. He's never heard the name Jesus Christ. He does not know the gospel because it hasn't reached to him. All he knows is that he worships the family idols he inherited from his father with a little Buddhism thrown in for good measure. That's all he knows. And so when he dies without Christ in his life, well, then he's going to be judged by God, and there's a sense that he's not going to be in heaven. And you and I would say, that's... Oh, but wait a minute. Before you go there, let me ask you something, Mr. and Mrs. Baptized from Birth Christian. You've been a Lutheran all your life, maybe even went to a Lutheran school. You were baptized in the third week of your life. You were confirmed in your 13th year. You had a pastor who confirmed you and laid hands on you and said, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and you believe it. You believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. You believe in the resurrection Easter morning. You believe that Jesus ascended and that he's going to come again. And when he comes, you're going to be in heaven. You believe that. And it's true. But do you deserve that? How many of you deserve heaven? Raise your hand. Ferber, put your hand down. You confessed at the beginning of this service, and I heard every one of you confess, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And what did you confess with that? You said, I deserve nothing but your present and eternal punishment. You know that. So you're going to be in heaven. That's not fair. It is not fair. You don't deserve heaven any more than the yak herder. You don't deserve heaven any more than the evildoer. You don't deserve heaven any more than the one who rejects Christ out of hand. You don't deserve it any more than that. And what you've just put your finger on is the fact that God is not fair. And you and I can confess that freely and with joy. Because if God were fair, you and I would be toast. If God was really fair, he would give you what you deserve. That's what those guys in the vineyard wanted. They wanted what they deserved. And if you and I had a God who was fair, not a one of us would ever have eternal life. Because if God were fair, he'd give us what we deserve. And we deserve nothing but his present and eternal punishment. We confess that. No, God is not fair. God is gracious. That's the thing that Jesus is pointing us to in this parable, that the master sees to the need of the one who just got hired at 5 o'clock. You and I, we don't deserve heaven. It's patently not fair. But God sent his Son into the world, his perfect and righteous and marvelous Son, who walked in accordance with God's commands, kept them perfectly. And he healed the sick, and he gave legs to the lame, and he gave sight to the blind, and hearing to the deaf, and speech to those that were mute. He raised some of them from the dead, and what did they do to him? Pastor said last week, and a bunch of bullies came and they beat him up and they put a crown of thorns on his head and they spit in his face and they slapped him on the cheek and they hung him on a cross and they made fun of him while he was dying and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. You know what? That's not fair. But you know what? All of that happened to him because God is not fair. He is compassionate. He is filled with love. He is love. And he did it so that you and I would receive not what we deserve, but we would receive what we do not deserve, and we don't get the things that we do deserve. We get grace and we get mercy. And he does it because that's who he is. And you know what those guys who were hired at sunrise didn't realize? When they made that big complaint, we worked all day in here and now you're paying them and making them equal to us. That's not fair. You know what they didn't think about? When they got hired at sunrise and got sent into that vineyard, those guys went into that vineyard and they could whistle while they worked because you know what they knew? They knew that at the end of the day, they were going to get paid, and on the way home, they were going to go to the marketplace and pick up what Mama said to bring home, and the family was going to have supper. They knew that they were going to get paid, because in those days, if you were sort of an itinerant worker, you got paid at the end of each day. And oftentimes, it was just enough to buy the food that your family was going to eat that day. Those men knew from sunrise on that they were going to get paid a decent day's wage and they were going to be able to take care of their family that day. They had the confidence and the assurance of that. They didn't stop and think about the guys that got hired at noon. They spent a whole morning frustrated, a whole morning worried. What am I going to do? And even when they got hired at noon, they figured, I'm not going to get a full day's wage, so it's just going to be a little bread on the table tonight, going to be a little slack tonight for supper. And what about those guys that didn't get hired till 5 o'clock? They stood there in that marketplace all day and nobody had a job for them. And as the hours ticked by, their anxiety rose. Their sorrow rose. By 5:10, they're pretty sure that the family's going to get squat for supper. Nothing. How am I going to go home and say to the wife, nobody hired me today. I got nothing. What are you going to say to the kids when they're hungry and you got nothing? And see, Jesus reminds us by this parable that those of us who have known Jesus Christ from our earliest beginning, who were baptized into Christ Jesus as a child, who were confirmed in Him, who have known Him all of our life, we ought to give God thanks every day for that. Because we have lived in His shadow, in His hand from day one. What a blessing that is. You talk to somebody who doesn't come to Christ until they're 74 years of age and ask them what their life was like before Christ, where they had no assurance, where they had no idea, where they lived by wishful thinking and hopeful thought. How blessed we are that we have that. And so, yeah, that you've known Jesus from your beginning, I would say that's not fair. Oh, but it's a gift. It's a blessing. Because the bottom line is, God is not fair. He's compassionate. He is love. And He loves you. Has called you to be His. Not because you deserved it, but because that's who He is. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already far, and grace will lead me home.
And let us pray together. Holy, precious God, it is with thanksgiving that we can say in truth, you are not fair. You do not treat us as we deserve, for already we have confessed that we deserve nothing but your present and eternal punishment. No, you are not fair. But you are gracious and compassionate, forgiving our sins for Jesus' sake, laying on Him exactly what each one of us deserved. Now, Lord, we pray that you would send us out into your vineyard to serve you in our everyday lives by giving your love through us to those we meet this week. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all healing, we pray for our sick and for our injured. We pray that you would send them your help and speedily. We pray that you'd grant to each of these your help, that you'd uplift, defend, and grant them healing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, we continue to ask you to so move and direct our nation that those affected and imperiled by the hurricanes in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Puerto Rico, and the Caribbean, that those involved in the destructive effects of earthquakes in Mexico may receive aid and resources now and in the weeks ahead. We also pray that you would defend our service personnel, that you'd keep them safe, diligent, and aware, and that you'd keep their families safe in their absence. Lord, in your mercy, all of these things, Father, we lift up before your throne, bringing them to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has also taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.